From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's December 16th, 2025. On today's show, last week's rough weather is expected to continue through tonight and into tomorrow as wind gusts strengthen and mountain snowfall intensifies. And the Spokane tribal chairman and other Native American leaders want Congress to update the system that's supposed to provide health care for tribal members. Plus, tis the season for having piles of leftover wrapping paper. We'll look at some tips for how to properly deal with all of it. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. After a gusty night in eastern Washington, the National Weather Service says the strongest winds are still on their way. National Weather Service meteorologist Antoinette Serrato says Spokane, Pullman, Moscow, and Lewiston will likely see wind gusts over 60 miles per hour early Wednesday morning.
Those 60-plus mile-an-hour winds could see widespread power outages, widespread tree damage, damage from unsecured items, and pretty treacherous driving conditions for high-profile vehicles.
The strongest winds are expected from 1 a.m. to 11 a.m. Wednesday. And even after two atmospheric rivers hit the Northwest last week, more rain is falling in Washington and Idaho. Serrato says the Coeur d'Alene River is expected to rise again, but not as high as last week.
Portions of the campground south of I-90 and Dudley Road downstream of Cataldo may be underwater if floodplain storage areas are already full of water.
As the Idaho Panhandle and eastern edge of the Cascades get more rain, Serrato says the risk of mudslides and rock slides is going up, especially in areas recently affected by wildfires. NWS also predicts heavy snowfall in Stevens and Snoqualmie passes from Wednesday through the weekend. Serrato warned strong winds combined with snow falling at rates up to an inch per hour could make for challenging travel through the Cascades. And a nearly 50-mile stretch of Highway 2 over Stevens Pass is closed with no estimated reopening date. Northwest Public Broadcasting's Murrow Fellow Renee Diaz reports on detours that are open for now.
Highway 2 is closed from Skykomish to Leavenworth after last week's massive storms. Mudslides, floodwaters, downed trees, and rocks are all being looked at for cleanup and fixes. Lauren Loeb-Sack with the Washington State Department of Transportation says to look for alternate routes in the meantime.
We're getting reports of people crossing past the closure points. Right now, road closed means road closed.
Instead, right now, US 97 over Blewett Pass and State Route 28 between Wenatchee and Quincy are both open. Sergeant Jason Rainfeld with Chelan County Emergency Management says to check roads before traveling.
When we have the high winds with the rain, stay off the roads as much as possible.
Another round of bad weather is expected this week. I'm Renee Diaz reporting.
The heavy rainfall and warmer than usual temperatures last week have brought Washington's snowpack to a record low. Jacob Genuisi of the Washington State Climate Office said storms did bring some much-needed relief after a multi-year drought.
It is nice to get this much water to kind of fill some reservoirs and boost them back to near normal. But as far as snowpack goes, we have not seen really any boost and actually a decline in snowpack across the region.
But all that wet could have an upside.
It's very helpful to have saturated soils and then hopefully get some snowpack built up on top of that throughout the rest of the winter. And then when spring snowmelt season comes, as that snow melts, it doesn't have to sort of moisten the soil. The soil's already saturated from these early season rains and can hopefully run directly into rivers.
But that all depends on the mountains actually getting snow. Still, since it's early in a La Niña winter, Genuisi says he's not overly concerned yet. The trial for a private security guard charged with 8 counts of battery after a political town hall in Coeur d'Alene last winter began yesterday. One video of the event shows guards, including Supervisor Paul Truitt, in plain clothes, pinning Teresa Borenpohl to the ground and then dragging her from the town hall after being ordered to do so by Kootenai County Sheriff Bob Norris. Truitt and the other guards were charged with battery and false imprisonment, but the state dropped the charges last week against all men except Truitt. The Coeur d'Alene Free Press reports Truitt's defense yesterday focused on a sheriff's power to command citizens to help. Because the guard was acting on Norris's orders, his defense attorneys say Truitt's actions were lawful. The prosecuting attorney has argued that Borenpohl's political dissent didn't justify violence, and following orders from the sheriff doesn't exonerate Truitt. The trial continues today. 50 years after Congress recognized tribal sovereignty, Native leaders say they still have trouble taking over health services for tribal citizens. Spokane Tribal Chairman Greg Abrahamson testified to a House of Representatives subcommittee late last week on the issue.
Tribally operated health centers can better tailor services for their citizens, expanded care, reduced workforce shortages, while many federally operating in health service facilities continue to struggle with high vacancy rates, leaving tribal patients without timely access to care.
The Spokane tribe started fully managing its Wellpinit clinic this April. And Abrahamson says the transition wasn't easy.
Staffing shortages, administrative turnover, and delays in responding to critical requests that made the process more difficult than needed to be at and risked undermining our ability to meet deadlines.
He wants Congress to provide more funding so other tribes don't have the same troubles when taking over from the Indian Health Service.
I think more support out front would definitely help the tribe as they got ready to transition over with getting the proper staff and proper consultants and actually even being able to visit the best practice on some of these tribes that have gone through that.
Abrahamson also pressed the committee to either revamp the IHS's electronic health record system or pay for tribes to use alternatives to avoid disruptions in care. The holiday giving tradition brings joy to both givers and receivers of packages, but it also raises the question, what do you do with all that wrapping paper? Mackenzie Borja from WM offers some thoughts for minimizing your holiday gift-giving footprint.
Let's start with party planning. Make a list and check it twice. As you prepare food for guests and plan your grocery lists, keep in mind the following tips to not only save money, but also save food from going to waste. Plan ahead. Save time and money by creating a shopping list and sticking to it. Plan your list based on the number of guests you're expecting to minimize leftovers. And then, plan for leftovers. Encourage guests to bring to-go containers so leftovers can be wrapped up and brought home. This ensures no delicious meal goes to waste. If you do have unopened or untouched edible food, donate it to a food bank or soup kitchen before it goes bad. This gives others a chance to enjoy it. Food waste should go in curbside food and yard debris carts to be composted. If you are a WM customer, visit WMNorthwest.com to see what is accepted for recycling, yard and food waste, or garbage. If not a WM customer, visit your local waste collector's website to check the guidelines. Now let's talk about sustainable gifts. Give more to the planet by reconsidering the gifts you buy. Use the following three tips to ensure that your gift giving is not only curated for that perfect person, but also reduces your impact on the planet. Number one, shopping locally is a great way to reduce waste and support small businesses. You also reduce greenhouse gas emissions by purchasing something made in our community. Two, secondhand, upcycled, or DIY gifts tell a story. From vintage treasures to repurposed decor, these gift options add charm while reducing waste and the need for new production. And three, give memories instead of things. Consider concert tickets, an outdoor adventure like zip lining, or a gift card for a vacation rental or a cooking class. Now, where should you dispose of common holiday items? Knowing what can be recycled, what belongs in the trash, and what can be reused helps keep our community clean and sustainable. Follow these tips to make sure your holiday cheer doesn't turn into holiday waste. Not sure where to dispose of an item? Download the WM Cartwise app or search on Spokane Waste Directory for recycling or disposal information. Choose wrapping paper that states it is recyclable or use brown paper. You can opt for reusable gift bags or make wrapping paper using old maps, posters, or paper bags from grocery stores. When embellished with glitter, foil, or a plastic coating, wrapping paper is not recyclable. Some other common holiday items that cannot be recycled include plastic film, bubble wrap mailers, paper envelopes lined with plastic, and plastic foam. If they cannot be reused, throw them away. Batteries should never be placed in recycling or garbage carts. They should be brought to either Spokane's waste-to-energy facility for disposal or one of Spokane County's transfer stations. More information about battery disposal can be found at batterysmartspokane.com. Do not place string lights in your recycling cart. They can wrap around the equipment at recycling facilities, causing damage and delays. If the lights still work, donate them. If they don't work, it's better to throw them in the garbage. Now let's talk about Christmas trees. If you subscribe to WM Yard Debris Service, chop the tree up and put it in your yard debris cart. In communities across Spokane County, WM offers curbside Christmas tree collection after the holidays. Remember to remove decorations for reuse next year. Flocked Christmas trees go in the garbage. For more information on Christmas tree collection, please check your local guidelines at WMNorthwest.com or your waste service provider's website.
Mackenzie Borja is WM's Recycling Education and Outreach Coordinator. SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by Renee Diaz, Eliza Billingham, Doug Nedvornik, and me, Owen Henderson. I'm also the host and producer. Thanks for listening. It's SPR.